guys. Hope you're doing well. Today we're continuing on in Out of Context. Now, most of the verses that we've had in the sermon series and on these podcasts have been, you know, kind of the harmless ones where it's like, all right, you know, this is how the word is usually taken out of context, and yeah, that's not the best way to do it. But, you know, it's not like really, really dangerous stuff in the realm of heresy. Today's is a more dangerous text to be taken out of context in the way that it has been and usually is. Now, that being said, I'd say like 99% of the people at New Vision don't have to worry about this. If you have looked at this verse in the sense in which it is taking context, you might have just kind of passed by it and not really thought too much of it. But that being said, this one has a whole denomination that takes it out of context and really misrepresents the Bible with this text in particular. It's kind of one of their pillar beliefs. So with that being said, let's just go ahead and read it. We're in Colossians chapter 1, and this is verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. So that's just the one verse. He's the image of the invisible God. So this is talking about Jesus, comma, the firstborn of all creation. And so right away, people read that at face value, and they just don't take any of the steps and say, oh, well, Jesus was a created being, you know, and in this particular denomination, I'll just say it's the Jehovah's Witnesses. They run with this way of reading that verse. In fact, I'm going to read off my screen here. I want to do them justice. I've studied some Jehovah's Witness teaching before because some came to my door and they were trying to convert me or whatever. This was back in the day. And I think they bit off more than they can chew because I was starting to try to convert them. And so I started to study it more. And when they would say something, they bring their Bible, which is called the New World Translation. By the way, it's a heretical Bible. It's bad, bad, bad. Don't get the New World Translation. It's been edited and changed words to support their own false beliefs. Anyways, they're coming to my door and debating with me. So there was a time period where I had studied, you know, what they meant by certain things that they were saying, what they were trying to convert me to and all that things, just to engage with them. That being said, like, I didn't retain that information very well. I just know one of the main things that is different from Jehovah's Witnesses versus true Christianity is the idea of the deity of Christ. And so they take verses like this that say, well, Jesus, he's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of creation. And they say that Jesus was nothing more than the first created angel, and they call him the Archangel Michael, who was sent from heaven to earth and then became Jesus, who is a temporary man, but still nothing more than a man. And so, like, that's a complicated, like, Archangel Michael, you know, he became a man, but he was still just a man. Like, that's not what we believe in Christianity. That's not what the Bible teaches. And so they take this verse that says, well, Jesus was the firstborn, as kind of ammunition for that view. In fact, I'll go ahead and read the rest of the real Bible, verses 15. I'll read it through verse 20. So let's just dig in. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, verse 16. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. That I was reading out of the ESV. So that's a great translation. Now let's read out of theirs. I'll just read through verse 17. So I'm going to change my voice a little bit so you know that this is not Bible, right? This is their version. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. because by means of him, all other things were created in heavens and on earth, the things visible and the things invisible, whether they are thrones or lordships or governments or authorities, all things that have been created through him and for him, and also he is before all other things, and by means of him, all other things were made to exist. And so I know it's being cheesy for me to inflect my voice that way, but I just want you to know that this is their New World Translation. It's bad, bad Bible. And so in that, let's see, verse 16, in the real Bible, in Greek, you can literally translate it in a wooden way, like Greek word for word, and it's all things have been created through him and for him. In their version, they add a phrase, like just straight up shoehorn this phrase in there that wasn't in the Bible to begin with, and they add the word other. So they say all other things have been created through him. Then in verse 17 in the real Bible, it says, he is before all things, and by him all things were made to exist. In theirs, they say, they add the word all other things, and then by means of him. So they say, and he is before all other things, and by means of him all other things were made to exist. In other words, they're saying that, like, yeah, that first verse in verse 15 where they say Jesus is the firstborn of all creation, and they're saying that, well, he's the first created angel, and he's the archangel Michael, and he became a man. And so, yeah, the rest of these verses, 16 through 17 through 20, like, they're talking about, you know, it sounds like Jesus created everything, but he's just subservient. He's not fully God. And so let's just add all other things, so we know we can really hammer down on this false belief that Jesus is just a created being. It says firstborn of all creation. So I'm kind of beating the horse there, but all that to say, like, this is dangerous because they're denying the deity of Christ. Now let's look at the verse itself. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. We've read just a few verses and seen that, wow, this is clearly talking about Jesus. And yes, we have the Trinity, right? That's not in the Bible, but the concept clearly is, and that's how we describe the Godhead. Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. And it's taken many debates over the years, like talking about thousands of years and councils where they come up with definitions and agree on to something and disagree on other things and say, all right, well, this is heresy. And it's heresy to deny the deity of Christ. It's also heresy to deny the manhood of Christ. And so we've read just in those short few verses, it's really clear that Jesus is equal as a person to God the Father. And Jesus is the one that was there at the very beginning, before the beginning, like, you know, infinitely past, and was the part of creating all things. Like, he's holding all the atoms together in our body. And all we've done to reach that conclusion is just read a few more verses and not change our translation and had to add words. Like, it's a lot easier just to keep reading and admit that Jesus is fully God than it does to write a whole new Bible and add these other words to support a false view. And so in context, we see, well, the firstborn of all creation, then therefore, my big question is, well, Cloud, what does, quote, the firstborn of all creation mean? And so we have to say word sense matters. It really does. Like, word sense matters. You say firstborn in the sense of literal, like, this is my first child. Well, okay, we've seen that Jesus can't be a first child if he's fully God. He was never not. He always has been. He's fully God. He's the uncaused cause if he's equal with the Godhead. So we see that the rest of the Bible supports that. So firstborn in a literal sense can't mean that. It's not literal. So therefore, you have to turn to the rest of the Bible. Firstborn is kind of a symbolic phrase made for emphasis, and it refers to the idea of position or rank or prominence. So if you think about this, this is just a writing technique that was used during those time periods. And now in the New Testament, they're continuing it to show the position, the rank, and the prominence of Christ. You look at King David in the Old Testament. He was called the firstborn, right? King David. He was many times called the firstborn. Now, if you look at his lineage, he wasn't the firstborn. He was the runt, the lastborn, and all of a sudden he's being called the firstborn. That has to do with rank. the line of David, the Davidic dynasty, is the, quote, firstborn, and that's from whom Jesus comes. And so that's the preeminence of that line. Jesus is of the line of David. Then you have, like, the nation of Israel itself is often called God's, Yahweh's, firstborn child, which it's the nation of Israel wasn't the first nation to exist on earth, right? Like, there was other tribes and things like that. So in a literal sense, like, firstborn in this sense doesn't mean it's literal, like Jesus was Archangel Michael. It means that Jesus is preeminent. He has this high position and this high rank as our high priest, as our king. All that to say, like, word sense matters. It doesn't mean what it means at face value. We've seen that. And then all you have to do is read a few verses down to get a sense of what they're talking about. And then you can read the rest of the Bible to clearly see the deity of Christ. In verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God. So, you know, when mankind is created, it says, let us create man in our image. But here in verse 15, it says he, Jesus, is the image. So in the verse itself, like, firstborn can't mean what you think it means. Jesus is God. He is the image. And then here's another big one that Jehovah's Witnesses take out of context. They actually add and manipulate scripture. You all know this one. This is John 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was, like, Word is God's message to humanity, shown in the person of Christ, who became a man. He's fully man, but he's also fully divine. You know, the Christmas story. And here it says he was in the beginning, he was with God, and he was God. And so in the Jehovah's Witnesses fake translation, they say was a God, like we're all little gods, right? But it's so clear in the rest of scripture through the I am statements, Jesus knows. He didn't overtly claim to be deity, but he certainly was killed for it. And his I am statements were provocative, to say the least. They accuse him of blasphemy, and they murder him for it. They think he's making himself equal to be God. It was clear that they believed that he was saying he was God. And there's so many statements in the rest of scripture to support that. Colossians 2:9, the fullness of deity dwelt bodily. And so all that to say, like, I think we've proven the point. Like, the firstborn of creation doesn't mean what we think it means. And it matters. Like, word sense matters, and you don't have to search far in the rest of scripture to realize that. Now, why is this a big deal? And let's go ahead and close. It probably doesn't matter that much to you because you probably haven't thought about this. You probably haven't debated this. Like, it's no question for you. Jesus is fully God. You know, like, you believe that. And so that's just kind of my closers, that the deity of Christ issue is a deal breaker, right? It's in that realm of heresy. This is a very dangerous view to hold, or very dangerous scripture to take out of context. Now, that being said, like, when you pray to receive Christ, you were a kid, you know, I was at a coffee shop and I was 17 years old. And like, whenever you came to know Jesus and you were saved, and the third person of the Trinity indwelled you, the Holy Spirit, he came inside you and you're saved and you've been atoned for and all that. Like, I don't think, you know, you were ready to write a paper or argue the deity of Christ and teach these doctrines and things like that. So I'm not saying it's like, oh, you need to know the deity of Christ. That's necessary for salvation. No, we're saved by faith through Christ and the Son of God, right? Jesus became a man, but he was yet fully God. You know, we might not have really thought about it that in depth, but if you think about it, the doctrine of the deity of Christ is essential to your salvation. Like, without the deity of Christ, there is no atonement because we've sinned. And who have we sinned against? God, Yahweh, like God the Father. And that's a huge deal. God is infinite, and one sin is enough for us to be infinitely separated from him. That's the penalty, is infinite separation from God. What can plug an infinite-sized gap? Something also equally infinite, being the full God-man, Jesus Christ. And so the deity of Christ in our atonement is a big deal because there's no sacrifice big enough on earth that we can come up with to atone for our sin for a perfect, holy, infinite, huge God. But Jesus, if he's fully God, well, he's big enough. And so that's important, the deity of Christ. Now, also the humanity of Christ is important, so he can sympathize with us. And it says that he lived life on earth and, you know, but still didn't sin. And so the humanity of Christ is as important as the deity of Christ. And so all that to say, verses like this, taken out of context, very, very dangerous. Hope this has been helpful for you guys. Like, I don't know if you have Jehovah's Witnesses coming to your door, but maybe give it a second thought about ignoring that doorbell. Maybe go talk to them or whatever. But hopefully it's been helpful. Y'all have a great day, and we'll see you on the next episode.